Thank you, Kenny, so much for that. Exodus chapter 15. It's good to have Kenny back with us. He tries to leave us as much as he can, it seems like. No, I know that's not what his heart is. He's busy serving the Lord, studying at school and traveling, ministering all over the place. And it's just good to have him back with us for this little while before he goes back to school again. And so thankful for his heart for the Lord and his desire to serve the Lord here in the ministry when he's home. Exodus chapter 15. I'm thankful as we go to the Word of God that God reveals himself to us. When you open the Bible, the Word of God, God gives us insight into who he is, insight into his character, insight into his heart for us. There was a preacher that we often would have at the campus church and at Pensacola Christian who would, every time he would tell the congregation to open the Bible, he would kind of pause as if it was just coming to him for the first time, even though I'm sure he had said it thousands of times in his ministry. He would stop and say, "And by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible, we open the mind of God, the mind and the heart of God?" And that is certainly true. This is his word to us. And throughout his word, he reveals himself to us. And tonight, as we look to the Word of God, I want to draw your attention to a particular revelation of God that we find here in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And my hope and prayer tonight is that it will minister to our hearts as we open our eyes perhaps a little more to who our God is. Notice, if you would, this is in the context, and we're going to go to various passages of Scripture, and Exodus 15 is really just our springboard. But in the context, Israel has been delivered from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea and watched as God has drowned the Egyptian soldiers there in the Red Sea and delivered them in that way. They've gone for a time without water. And then God brings them to Marah, where the bitter waters are sweetened by the tree that is thrown into the water. And then in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, we have this revelation of God. "And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians." And then if you would take note, he says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." For I am the Lord that healeth thee. We have here in Exodus 15, verse 26, one of the names of God revealed to us. It's the name of God, Jehovah Rapha. And it means exactly what is spelled out there in verse 26 of Exodus 15. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I want to speak to you for a few moments this evening on the subject, the Lord, our healer. The Lord, our healer. Healing is something that we all need at different parts and times in our lives. The Lord was really working on my heart about this subject this past week as I had the opportunity to speak for a memorial service in a ministry that I am involved with. And it was a very purposeful memorial service dealing with some people who had experienced hurt, who needed healing. And God really worked in my heart about this revelation of Himself as I thought about that event and thought about the Scriptures and came to the realization that really this is something that not just a select group who may have gone through some specific event or struggle in their life, but healing is something that every one of us needs at different points in our lives. Why do we need healing? Why is it in your life and in mine that there are times that we need the Lord to step in and to be our healer? Well, healing is needed at different times in our lives for a multitude of reasons. And more often than not, healing is the need of our hearts and lives because of some hurt. How many of you have experienced a hurt in your life? I have. You know, even as I was thinking about it and just studying out this revelation of God, I was reminded that here just in 2 weeks on August 18th will be the anniversary of the miscarriage of our first pregnancy. And I thought about just this time frame in our lives and the hurt that that brought to my wife and I in our own lives. But then reflected upon Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And just looking back at different ways that the Lord has worked in our lives. And we can all say, yes, I've experienced some hurt at some point in my life and I need God, or I've needed God to step in and do a work. You think about these hurts, where they come from. You know, sometimes hurts are inflicted upon ourselves. There are times in your life and mine that the hurt that we experience, we have inflicted upon ourselves. It's not something that someone else has done to us. It's not something that someone else has caused. There is no other person that we can lay the blame at the door than our own selves. Many times that type of a hurt that is inflicted upon ourselves, the type of hurt that we're talking about, would perhaps be a sin issue. There has come something in our lives as a result of our failure before the Lord, and it has brought a hurt into our lives. But there are times that the hurt is not inflicted upon ourselves. Sometimes a hurt is inflicted upon us by someone else. And we may or may not have any culpability in that situation. I would imagine that all of us could say honestly and sincerely that there's been some time in our life where some hurt has been inflicted upon us in which we were not culpable in any way, shape, or form. We didn't do anything to have that hurt come upon us. We didn't do anything. There was nothing that we had done to cause that hurt to be brought in our lives. There was nothing we could do about it. We had no control over the situation, but that hurt was inflicted upon us by somebody else. And when we experience that type of hurt, as with the type we inflict upon ourselves, we need healing. Sometimes the source of hurt is not what we inflict on ourselves or what someone else inflicts on us. Sometimes it is projected on us by someone else. It's not that they hurt us, but they share their hurt with us. And it hurts us. I remember when I was a college student at Pensacola Christian, and the senior pastor of the campus church, we didn't know at the time, I was a sophomore, was getting ready to leave the ministry. And it was, you know, very hush-hush. It was very quiet. He hadn't announced that publicly yet. But during one of the last sessions he had with the preacher boys, he gave this lesson, and it was entitled, "Don't Leave on Somebody Else's Red Wagon." And it was like, what is he talking about? And he shared this story about a time in his life when someone had left a ministry and had that discussion with him about, you know, just because God is moving me on somewhere else, that's not your cue to go ahead and get on the wagon and go with me. And the idea is simply that sometimes in our lives, we pick up someone else's hurt and we carry it along with us and we're hurt ourselves. But this evening, I'm not so much here to focus on the hurt as much as to turn our hearts to healing. Because He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. But what I want us to understand this evening is that hurts can come from a multitude of sources. We can inflict them on ourselves or be inflicted upon us by others. They can be projected upon us by others. But what we need to understand this evening is when we are experiencing a hurt, when we are carrying a hurt, because there are times, aren't there, that you carry a hurt for a long time. That hurt that you've inflicted upon yourself or someone else has inflicted upon you or that has been projected on you by somebody else. There are some here this evening, I have no doubt, that there's some hurt that you've been carrying for years. And you've held on to it. You've let it sit in your heart and in your mind. It's eating you away from the inside out. And when you have been hurt, the desire of your heart is healing. And what I want to show you this evening from the Word of God is that God is Jehovah Rapha. When you've been hurt and you need healing, it is the Lord that you need to look to. We must understand that true healing comes through the Lord and the resources available to us from His Spirit and from His Word. There's a Bible character who probably understood more about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, than any other that I would think of. And that's the Old Testament King David. King David was a man who experienced hurt in a multitude of different ways in his life. He knew what it was to inflict hurt upon himself. He knew what it was to be inflicted hurt by somebody else. He knew what it was for others to project their hurt upon him. David was someone who understood what it was to be hurt in many different ways throughout his life. But yet, David is also someone who understood that his God was and is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. He wrote about it a good bit. I want you to turn with me to a couple of passages just to see this before we get into a text that will illustrate in his life. Look at Psalm 41. You can go throughout the Psalms and find that David has a lot to say about the Lord that healeth thee. Let me give you a few. Psalm 41, verses 3 and 4. Here the Bible declares, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me." What are the next three words? Read them with me, would you? "Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." No question about it, is there here in this text that David was talking about some hurt inflicted upon himself. He had brought some hurt into his own life because of his sin, but then he begged the Lord, "Lord, heal my soul." Look at, if you would, Psalm 103, the 103rd Psalm. Psalm 103, and look at verses 1 through 5. David is praising God for His goodness. And he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Read the rest of the phrase with me, would you? "Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." David was praising God, who he knew to be the God who heals of all diseases. Look at, if you would, one more psalm. Psalm 147. the 147th Psalm. And when you get there, we'll look at the first three verses of that Psalm. Psalm 147, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel." Read the next verse with me, would you? "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." David, certainly, just from these three psalms, just these three passages, we can see very clearly that David had an understanding of who God is Jehovah Rapha, the God, the Lord that healeth thee. David had experienced many hurts in his life, but David was also a man who had experienced the healing touch of God. David was someone who knew what it was to carry a hurt. David was one who had said at different times, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" There were times that David cried out in the dark, but then often we see David immediately turning it around to praise as he experienced the healing touch and hand of the Lord in his life. And this evening, as we think about this truth, as we understand, as David understood, that the Lord is the Lord that healeth thee, I want to look at an illustration of that reality in his life and show you how God can use the resources that are available to him, which are all resources, and primarily through his Spirit and through his Word, can work in our life to turn our hurt to healing. And for the illustration in David's life, I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is going to be the main passage of Scripture we'll draw these thoughts from. As we go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, I want us to see in David's life how God was able to turn David's hurt to healing. How God was able to take one of those many hurts that David experienced and bring healing to his life to show David, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Because there are hurts that we experience, there are hurts that some are carrying tonight. And what you need more than anything else, what I need when I am hurt more than anything else, is the healing touch of God. David found healing through the Lord and the resource of his Spirit and His Word. And we see that depicted in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's set up the context. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, David sinned greatly against God. No question, this particular illustration in David's life was a situation where David inflicted the hurt upon himself. David saw Bathsheba from the rooftop of his palace. He lusted after her. He brought her into his own home. He committed adultery with her. He worked out the murder, the death of her husband Uriah to cover up the sin. And for a good length of time, throughout the pregnancy and even after the birth of the child, David hid his sin. Read Psalm 32, read Psalm 34, read Psalm 51. David, for a time, hid his sin, but it was not a good time in David's life. As you read Psalm 32, 34, and 51, you understand that David was experiencing great hurt all through that time. 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Lord sent the prophet of God to David. He came to David with the word of God. He came to David with a parable, essentially. And through that parable, David was confronted with his sin. David confessed his sin. He repented before the Lord. And Nathan responded. And we come down to verse number 20, where the child that had been born has now died. And in verse number 20, we read these words, "Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Can I tell you just what happened in verses 20 through 23? Listen to me very carefully. David experienced healing. While that child was still alive, but sick, as God had said would happen, David went into the house of God. He fell before the Lord. He fasted and he prayed and he wept. He would not eat. His servants could not get him to get up and come and eat for his own sake, for the strength of his body, for the sustenance and the nourishment that he needed. And when the baby died, the servants were afraid to go and tell David, if this is how David is while the baby is sick, how will he be if he knows that the baby is dead? But David overhears this. He comes to an understanding of what has happened. And David gets up and he cleans himself and he washes and he goes into the house of God and he worships God and he comes back and he says, "Hey guys, bring me some food." And his servants are just out of their minds. What in the world? How can this be his response? And they even question the king, "David, how is it that while the child was yet alive, you were this way? Now that the child is dead, you're this way." And David gave a response that we know we're familiar with. But what we need to see in the response is David's understanding of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. The healing that David found through the Lord and the resources of his Spirit and his Word is the same healing that you and I can find in the hurts and the struggles of our own lives. When we need healing from our hurt, we can find it in the Lord. Let me give you five resources that David found in the Word of God, in the Lord, that led to his healing. Number one, David found forgiveness and mercy. Look at verse number 13. "And David said unto Nathan," this was after Nathan has confronted him with his sin, "David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." You know what Nathan said to King David? "David, God sees your heart. David, God has heard your confession, your repentance." David was so different from King Saul in that way. This was a characteristic of how David was a man after God's own heart. When he was confronted with his sin, he repented. And here's what Nathan shared with David. "David, God sees your heart of repentance. And because of your repentance, God is offering you forgiveness and mercy." Friends, tonight, I don't know what hurt you may have experienced, and perhaps you've experienced some hurt that's been inflicted upon yourself because of sin. Like is true of David's case in this illustration. But I want you to know tonight that when you come to God in repentance, when we fail our God, we don't have to sit and wonder in guilt and shame and condemnation. We have a God who offers us forgiveness and mercy. When you've done wrong, when you've sinned against God, when you've experienced some hurt that is a result of some sin in your life, or maybe it's just guilt and shame over anything in your life. Maybe it's not a hurt that you're carrying. Maybe you just suffer. You struggle with guilt and shame for one reason or another. Can I tell you tonight, when you go to the Lord, He is the Lord that heals you. And one of the ways that God brings healing into your life is by reminding you by His Spirit and by His Word that there is forgiveness and mercy with God. He is the God that blots out all of our iniquities, who puts our sins as far as the east is from the west, who buries them in the depths of the sea, and who remembers them no more. There is forgiveness and mercy with God. There's a second resource that David found from the Lord that heals you, and that was restoration. When David was struggling, when he was going through that time of hurt, Psalm 32, again, you read the words, David found no peace. He had no fellowship with God. He struggled day by day and night by night. But when David found healing, notice what happened in verse number 20 again. The Bible says he arose from the earth, he washed, he anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and what? Worshipped. He worshipped. You know, when David turned away from his heart and turned to the Lord who heals me, David was restored. That fellowship with God that had been broken was restored. David did not experience some outcast thought. He didn't experience God putting him away from himself. David experienced God drawing him near to himself. And when you've experienced a hurt, when there is some hurt that you are carrying in your life, I want you to know when you turn that hurt over to the Lord, you'll be reminded of forgiveness and mercy, and you'll be reminded of God's restoration in your life. God taking what is broken, God taking what is old, God taking what is worn out and making it new. Do you remember the illustration in Jeremiah 18 when God told Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And Jeremiah went down to the potter's house and he watched that potter as he fashioned in his hands a clay vessel. And Jeremiah said as he watched, that vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. But the potter was able to take that clay. He was able to make it again as was fit to him. And God said, hey, that's like me, Jeremiah. I can take that was broken. I can take what is marred. I can take what seems out of sorts. And in my hands, I can make it again something new. I can make it again something clean. I can make it again something fresh. I can make it again something usable. That is our God who can bring restoration. There's a third resource that David found in his God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He found forgiveness and mercy. He found restoration. He found comfort. Verse 23. The servants don't understand. David, how could you be that way while the child is alive, but be like this now that that child is gone? And David said, here's how. I know that child's not coming back to me. But I know that I'm going to see that child someday. He's not going to return to me, but I am going to go to him. You know, in the reality of the Word of God, David had a good understanding of eternity. If you read the Old Testament Scriptures, David perhaps had a better understanding of eternity than any other Old Testament character. Even Psalm 17, which we've spoken about before, David understood that there was coming a day when he was going to awake with the likeness of his Redeemer. David had some understanding given to him by God of what eternity would be like. And you look at the rest of the Old Testament scriptures, there's nothing really that would give us an understanding of how David could have understood this. But God had comforted David's heart, and David understood that that child was not going to come back to him, but someday David was going to go to his eternal home. Someday David was going to stand in the courts of the Lord in the presence of the Most High, as he had always longed to do. And there, David was going to be reunited with that child that had left him. David was going to be reunited with that child that he longed to hold, that he longed to be with. And through that, David found comfort in the Lord. Now I want you to know tonight that when you're hurting, when you're carrying some hurt with you that maybe you've inflicted on yourself or been inflicted upon you by someone else or been projected upon you by someone else, you may not find it anywhere else, but you can find comfort in the Lord. You can find healing in the Word of God by the Spirit of God. And David found healing in the truth of the Word of God. And it goes on in verse 24, and it says that he comforted Bathsheba, his wife. I want you to look now at resource number 4 that led to David's healing. It was forgiveness and mercy, restoration, comfort, and then fourthly, there was grace. There was grace. Don't miss verse 24. The Bible says, and David comforted Bathsheba. What are the next two words? His wife. At every other time up to this point that Bathsheba is mentioned, she is mentioned as Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Not before this time is she listed as David's wife. Up until this point, David's sin had clouded the issue. David's sin was a blot in his life. But now David has repented. He has turned to the Lord. And David is now experiencing, he's a recipient of the grace of God. Now God is no longer looking at David's sin. God is looking at a man who has been cleansed, who's been washed, who's been healed. And it goes on and it says, David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name, what? Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Don't miss this truth, because it's so crucial to this. David had other children before Solomon. David had other sons. David had lots of other children before Solomon. There were lots of other sons in his family. But there was only one son going to be the heir to the throne of Israel. There was one son that God was going to put the Davidic covenant blessing upon. There was one son that God was going to continue the bloodline leading on to the Messiah that He began with His covenant with Abraham. And it wasn't any of David's other sons. It wasn't any of David's older sons. It wasn't David's firstborn son. It was David's son, conceived with Bathsheba, his wife, after he had made his sin right with God. Friends, what you see in verse 24 is nothing more and nothing less than a portrait, a snapshot in the Word of God of the grace of Almighty God. Because there was nothing in David, there was nothing in Bathsheba, there was nothing in Solomon that deserved this favor from God, that had earned God blessing them in this way. This was all a matter of God doing something in them and for them and through them that they did not deserve. And when you are carrying a hurt, I want you to know tonight that you can turn to the Lord who heals you. And when you turn to the Lord, you will receive, you'll be a recipient of His abundant, almighty, amazing grace in your life. There's a fifth resource. Found in the rest of the passage. David experienced forgiveness and mercy, restoration, comfort, grace. Fifthly, he experienced victory. Victory. You know, it seems as if it really shouldn't be a part of this passage of Scripture, the rest of the chapter. In verse 25, it says, he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord, that's continuing to talk about Solomon's birth there. And then verse 26, we go to, and Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And it's like, what does this have to do with, I mean, 2 Samuel 11 and 12 is all about David's sin, David being confronted by the prophet, about David repenting of that sin. What in the world is this all about? It goes on, it says, and Joab sent messengers to David and said, I fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah, fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with precious stones. And it was set on David's head, and he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. He brought forth the people that were there and put them under saws and so on. What's this all about? It's another chapter in David's healing. You see, God had made a lot of promises to David about how God would work with David, how God would work for David, how God would fight for David. You remember what David said when he went against Goliath? The battle is the Lord's. That was something David understood from a young age. And God had made promises to David about how if David would walk with him and walk after his commandments, obey God, how God would fight for David, how God would bring victory to David. And what I see taking place at the end of 2 Samuel chapter 12 is another part, in a sense, of David's restoration. It's God saying to David, hey, David, you failed. David, you sinned, yes. But David, I'm not going to turn away from you. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not turning my back away from you and all the promises I've made to you. David, guess what? You failed. You sinned. You're feeling down. You've been hurt. But I'm going to show you your healing is complete. I'm going to give you a victory. I'm going to give you a victory. Friends, when we turn away from our hurt to the Lord who heals us, I'm going to tell you right now that you will experience victory in your life. You'll find that God can and will give you the victory. Can I tell you what healing is all about? And I'll ask you to turn with me to one more passage of Scripture as we get ready to close, bring this together in Psalm 121. Here's what healing is about. Healing is about turning from the hurt with God's help to hope. If you want to see what the process of healing is all about, the process of healing is about taking that hurt, whether it's something you've inflicted upon yourself, something that's been inflicted upon you by someone else, something that's been projected upon you by someone else, and you are living with that hurt. You are carrying it as a burden. You are allowing that hurt to weigh you down. Healing is about taking that hurt, and by God's help, through the resources available by His Spirit and His Word, understanding He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, it's about turning that hurt over to God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, and turning from the hurt and the despair and the discouragement and the defeat and the depression and all of that, and turning to hope, which is found only in the Lord. That's what healing is all about. When we turn from hurt to hope, which is accomplished with God's help. And here in Psalm 121, here's what the psalmist says. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, verses 6 or 8 there really talk about those hurts. It kind of personifies different ideas of nature and so on. But the idea here are those different things that can bring hurt to the life. And David says in this psalm, I am looking to the Lord. I am looking to God. I know that God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And I don't need to live in the hurt. I can turn from the hurt to hope with God's help and experience healing. And so with David, we must determine, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And you know, in the context, that psalm is a song of degrees. It's one of the songs that was sung by the pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem during the different feasts, the different worship times. And they sang this series of psalms as they made their way that direction. And so as they're singing, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, very literally, geographically, they're talking about those hills on the outside of Jerusalem. And I can only imagine and understand in my heart that certainly God, who inspired David to write the Word of God by His Holy Spirit, had one particular hill in mind outside of Jerusalem. And it was that hill that Jesus went to one day, where He spread His arms wide, was nailed to an old rugged tree, was lifted up there on the hill outside of Jerusalem, where He gave His life a ransom for all, that we might all be healed. And David is saying here this evening, I'm going to lift up my eyes and look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Friends, when you experience a hurt, whatever that hurt may be and wherever it may have come from, I want you to remember tonight that our God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And what you need when you've been hurt is healing. And you can experience the healing of God when you turn from that hurt, you cast your care on the Lord by His help, and you look to Him, the giver of all hope, and find those resources that He makes available to us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this evening? No one looking around for just a few moments. And I don't know tonight who may be here who needed to hear the revelation, not from Pastor Willard, but from God. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. If you're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor, I needed it. That was me. There's been some hurt. There's been some situation in my life, and I really needed to hear tonight the truth, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Pastor, that's me. I needed that tonight. I see those hands. Any others? Pastor, that's me. I needed to hear it. In just a moment, we're going to have a brief time of invitation. Maybe God's working in your heart, and God's encouraged you perhaps from the Word. God's challenged you, convicted you with this revelation of Himself. When the invitation's given, if God is speaking to your heart, would you, for just a moment, bow there at your chair or come here to the altar and just bow before the Lord. Thank Him. Lord, thank You for the revelation tonight of who You are. Lord, help me when I experience hurt to find healing in You, to turn from my hurt to the hope that is in You. with your help. Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, I pray you do a work in our hearts. Help us to respond in obedience to your truth. And we'll praise you for it. With heads bowed and eyes